Hi, this is erstwhile Toilet of Hell contributor Maggie Siebert calling. Happy 200th episode. I couldn't think of anything clever to say, so I just wanted to let y'all know that you're the best website ever, and I hope for about 200 more episodes of this. Bye.
Hey, sorry about that. This is Rolder Athis, Jeff, and I'm just calling in to say my favorite part of The Toilet of Hell is my journey from lurker to commenter to writer, and getting to know you, Joe, and all the other toilet denizens. You guys helped me get through some tough times, and it's been a really great time getting to know you all. I have one fun fact for you. I'd like to adopt the American robin as the official Toilet of Hell bird because its species and genus are Turdus migratorius. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, y'all. It's Kelsey Crosby. I was trying to think of something funny to say, but really, just want to say congrats on 200 episodes. I'm impressed with anyone who can keep doing anything for longer than a couple of weeks at a time. So, good job, fellas.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Holy good lord, can you believe it? It's the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. And guess what? Fellas, can you guess?
What? Well, I'm guessing. But nothing's coming out. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, hazard a guess.
You got a vasectomy?
7 inches.
What the fuck is this?
All we think about is your dick, Joe.
This is very, very strange and a bad start to the show. This, the day of our 200th episode.
Episodes.
My back feels like it's been about 200 episodes.
I can't believe it. We've done this stupid show for 200 episodes.
What were we thinking?
I don't know. But
I mean, what were you guys thinking? I wasn't around for all of them, but...
But that is kind of a thing. We have kind of had a Judas Priest situation here, and that we've had a revolving lineup in the early days before finally solidifying on our core crew.
Yeah. You consider this a core crew?
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I just thought I was a guest all this time.
Special guest that's here almost every single week.
Yeah.
I was going to say I've been on this shit since day one. Every episode, and then I realized, no, I have not been on every episode. I think there are two that I was not here, but you guys were.
Yes.
Well, if we want to get super, super technical, this isn't even the first Toilet of Hell podcast.
Okay. do you want to give some ancient history for folks?
I don't even remember who was doing it. This was like the early, early days. I think two random people started something called the Flushcast and did about two or three episodes of just unlistenable audio. And when I say unlistenable, I mean content and physically what was coming out of the speakers, because they used what sounded like a tin can and string to record.
Yeah. Probably like their laptop webcam microphone was enough.
I remember one of these fellas approached me and was like, hey, can I do a podcast for the Toilet of Hell? I'm like, the fuck is a podcast? Why would you want to do a podcast?
Like, the more you look it up, you're like, what kind of white nerds are in this fucking shit past their 30s, man? Fucking podcasts.
I remember thinking distinctively, like, I think people just want to listen to music. I don't think people want to hear anybody talk about metal.
I think that's still 100% true.
Oh, no, but, absolutely. And this is a testament, our 200th episode, of going ahead and doing a thing regardless of whether or not it's a good idea.
I think that's all of metal music, though. Like, that's the attitude that is, like, the main engine of any given metal scene is, this is a bad idea. Nobody is going to care. Nobody is going to listen. But do it anyway because it's fun. And, you know, you love hanging out with your dudes and your ladies and your friends beyond the binary. And that's just, you know, why you do your thing, man.
You're not wrong. I did have a thought this morning, though. I was thinking, wow, this is crazy. Our 200th episode. How long will we do this? Like, and then I had a realization is that the day that the episode number is higher than the number of people that actually listen to the show is when we need to call it quits.
Yeah.
So we got a couple of episodes to go.
Yeah. So that means we're calling it quits, essentially. This is our exit episode.
We have had episodes that have had like 200 listeners. I think our lowest listened one probably had probably about 200, but generally we average around 500 or so. So it's just the same 500 people listen to us every single week, and then nobody else gives a shit.
Do you, off the top of your head, might you be able to remember which episode did so poorly?
I tell you what, you fellows keep your talking, and I'll pull that number up for you.
Excellent. I would love it if it was just like some band that nobody cared about and we could shout them out on the show as like being like a terrible draw that should quit music.
It's entirely possible. We've interviewed a myriad of bands and some have been more interesting interviews than others.
Yeah, put man. It that way. Absolutely. And that's another thing that we want to tell everybody is that we seem to be on a roll interviewing some really cool high-end metal bands. So like if you got some like weird basement bedroom tiny interface computer modeler thing going on, I don't know, man, we'll get to you when we get to you.
I appreciate your interest in the show.
Yeah,
at this time we're going in a different direction.
Currently at this time we are too involved with a few different projects, such as talking about some book that we read.
Sorry, guys. There's not a decent sort function on this. So,
too bad.
We're almost there.
But okay. You're getting there?
Almost,
I hear it.
Almost there.
I hear your work.
Hear you hammering on the mouse button.
Not hammering. Lightly touching.
Double bass pedaling the mouse button.
I gotta say, I'm a little depressed. Like for the 200th episode, and it was just, you know, months away, but I always told myself like we would get an interview with Jose Mangan or something to like make it happen, but it snuck up on us. We were very busy.
Here's what I'm going to do is today I'm going to hire several shitbags on Cameo to say congratulations on 200 episodes.
Oh, no fucking way, dude. Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we're going to get Jose Mangan, mm-hmm. Phil Labonte,
yes.
And Scott Steiner.
Yes, all of us.
Oh, wow, man. For my birthday? You guys are so cool. You didn't have to do that.
It's your birthday?
It is my birthday. Well, it is the 18th, the day that we're recording this. By the time that anybody listens to it, I will have already turned 32 on the 20th.
You're old as shit, dude.
And you know what sucks is that August 20th is another big special boy's birthday in the metal scene. So my thunder always gets so fucking jacked for me. So it's just like I'll go on Twitter and the first thing I see is like, I just wanted to give a shout out to someone in metal that I just loved for a really long time. Is really important and has really helped out the scene. Dimebag Darrell, man, we miss you, bro.
I share a birthday with Tom Araya, so.
Oh, interesting. How about you, Joe? Any metal dudes you share a birthday with?
I don't think so, but I do turn 32 4 days after you.
You fucking fetus, man. You baby. You don't know what it's like, you fucking zoomer.
I got some numbers for you if you guys are interested.
Please share.
So our lowest listened interview, can you guess who it was?
The guy from Junius.
No, that one actually got a lot of listens.
Wow.
Like, oh, a shocking. Lot. I thought that was a very bad interview, but people listened regardless, and that's probably why we didn't get return listeners on that one. Techno Destructo of Gwar.
Aw, It's a shame. That was a fun interview.
It was a fun interview, and that guy's so weird. I liked doing that one. No, only 275 people listened to that one.
People listen to this. Please fix that and listen to that episode. That's like one of my favorite interviews.
We need to do like a special promotion specifically with that one. Like, we have to go hit Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Friendster, MySpace, whatever, and just like Gaia forums, and just share that specific article everywhere. Like a bunch of dumbasses like posting their band's flyer around the internet. That's what we need to do with that episode. Get some more listens in it. Make the universe right.
I'll just tweet it to well-known soft asses on Twitter. Like, Jamie Jost, can you believe what Techno Destructo said to you in this podcast? And then put a link to it.
Yeah, just because Todd Jones quit the internet, you just have to send him like a written letter in the mail about it.
To whom this may concern.
Yeah.
Just writing,
he'll go back on his.
Responding you in perfect cursive. Dearest Tard. our lowest listen episode was episode 7. This is back in the early days when we were trying to just play music on the show because I thought that's what people wanted, and I quickly got incredibly bored with that. It's much better to just find one song per episode, guys. Like, it takes all week to find 5 decent new songs.
Plus, I feel like if you're going to listen to a metal podcast, you should just listen to a bunch of white nerds talk about metal, right? It's what makes it special. That's the draw, right there. It's not the new music. You can go listen to fucking new music anywhere. You can kick up your Spotify playlist. Who cares?
I'm just trying to understand why people listen to what episodes they listen to. For example, our interview with Fucked Up, like 300 listens. Nobody wanted that one. Same thing with Harm's Way.
Really?
Yeah. Hammerfall 300.
Hammerfall
300.
The fuck, man. You guys gotta hit those streets, man. We gotta get a Toilet of Hell street team.
Well, we tweeted it out the episode once. That's enough promotion, right?
Apparently.
We gotta hire one of those PR guys.
Yeah, just have like Curtis Dewar just tell people to listen to our show.
Just make polls about the show. What was your favorite segment?
Brain aside, 100%.
No, if anything else, like looking through our actual statistics, it's that people don't want to listen to interviews. They want to talk. They want to listen to us talk shit.
You're absolutely right, man. What was our Five Finger Death Punch episode? The biggest one.
Our biggest one, I don't even remember, and I can't find what it's on either. I titled it "Bruce Isn't Here, Man." I don't know what that means.
Bruce isn't here?
That's weird.
What the fuck does that mean? Our episodes with Trevor of the Black Dahlia Murder did pretty well. People like those. Our Chris Barnes interview did entirely too well. I don't know what any of these... why did I title these things? What is God Dog with 2 G's for both?
Yeah, you do have a unique way of titling episodes. And usually how it goes is you're going to have no idea what this episode's about unless you listen to the entire thing to get what sort of strange meta joke you've done with the combination of title and picture,
Like, we'll it's have a feature, about, not a bug.
Right. We'll have talked about metal for an hour, but then you'll put up a picture of Alan Turner and people will just be like, well, I'm not that interested in Alan Turner, so maybe I'll skip this one.
Who is Alan Turner?
I don't know. Who am I thinking of?
Tim Allen?
Maybe some country guy with a mustache. Yeah.
So what you're saying is I've not exactly set us up for success with this show.
Maybe. Maybe, but I'm actually... Okay, so Alan Turner is not who I meant. But I looked it up, and it is like some shitty country singer who, like, I can tell plays like whatever local bar is in his area, and he's got the best album cover title. If you guys could just Google that for me.
All right, Alan Turner is who we're looking for.
Alan Turner, Renegade Road, on cdbaby.name. I'm sorry, cdbaby.com.
Oh fuck, that rules.
It like, looks like Alex Jones.
He's the most perfect cube-like head.
Oh, in this one picture, he's like praying on his hands, and he's got bleeding cowboy font for his title.
That it's dude like, definitely stands for the national anthem.
Alan Turner and the Steel Horse Band, Nowhere Town, USA.
Thank you for providing the header image for this episode, by the way.
Great. 200 episodes, and that's what we get.
Oh, man. This guy fucks.
You know this guy has not had a dry dick a moment in his life.
I love this shit. I love it so much. Well, yeah, instead of playing like a cool metal track on this one, we'll just listen to Renegade Road the entire way through.
Fuck yeah, man. Yeah, so I guess I could say I like went to Brooklyn to meet important metal journalist people as a celebration to promote the 200th episode of Total Hell. So that's what I did.
Yeah, we had a metal summit.
That's right. We had
a metal summit. Thank you for grabbing audio for all those from all those people for this episode, by the way.
Oh.
What did you do? What happened in Brooklyn?
I got some. I might have some photos of us taking selfies together. We can put that on the header.
I don't know. Yeah, who did you meet?
Well, okay, so in Brooklyn, my buddies, they have a band. It's kind of like a psychedelic doom band, but they're actually good. Trust me, just they're good. I just played roadie for the day. I went out and went to Lucky 13 Saloon. Which is a very cool bar covered in metal stickers and otherwise. The strippers were a surprise for me. Did not realize that there would be strippers at this bar.
It's not like a strip club?
It's not. It's just they actually just have extremely scantily clad women dancing on the bar while you're trying to order a drink.
You're just ducking your head so you don't get kneed.
Can I get a
Pabst Blue Ribbon, please? Ow!
I'm literally getting an ass clapped in my face, like while I'm trying to order a Trooper, which is a very mediocre beer.
So, let me ask you,
please.
Yes,
I've never been to New York City, despite claims otherwise that I'm some kind of Brooklyn hipster. How much does a beer cost in Brooklyn at a bar?
Oddly enough, it's pretty standard. I mean, it was like $6-7 for the really nice ones, and then you could get a PBR for like a couple bucks.
Huh, that's surprising.
It's the same as anywhere else, honestly. I think the other stuff in Brooklyn is where you're really going to sink your costs. I mean, you got the food and the parking, and I was surprised there were no tolls getting into the city. I was so convinced there would be, but maybe we went away that would avoid those. I really just was on rails. We went to the show, we parked to the show, we loaded in. I was at this place for several hours and I had a great fucking time. But anyway, the two folks I met first, he's actually quite tall, surprisingly. Vince Neilstein of Metal Sucks. I don't know if you guys heard of him. Anybody?
I think we might have had him on the show once. How tall are we talking? How tall is Vince?
6 foot plus.
Huh. Okay.
So if I feel like 90% of chuds that call him online, he'd actually like bury. But you know, he's a dude, super sweet dude. Like we just sat down, and we were like immediately talking like friends, just shooting the shit, talking about you know, journalism, why he writes, why he doesn't write. Sometimes it was a good time. But yeah, he couldn't stick around because he's a busy dude with a family, and otherwise he was he was there for about an hour, maybe two, just having some brews. And then later in the night, Miss Kat Jones, who's currently a editorial producer for another even smaller blog, or some not even a blog, maybe a zine. I think it's called Kerrang. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it.
I believe we also might have had Kat Jones on the show once.
Right.
I it's good that you're ingratiating yourself among people that are much more successful than us. This is a good step to success. So these next 200 episodes, we can do much better.
Yeah, I think that the key to success is showing people exactly how fat I am and that my selfies aren't true, you know? So I'm just going to go out there and just, like, essentially introduce these people to an episode of Catfish they weren't expecting. But super sweet. Again, she sits down. It was another situation where we just started talking right away about anything and everything. She was really cool to me, to my friends. You know, it was a great time. She had to go through heck and back to get to New York City from where she lived to where we were to come hang out with us. And I'm super grateful for that. And yeah, it was an awesome time. I probably didn't get home until like 4:30 this morning.
I'm surprised that you're up this early and doing a show with us.
I mean, you guys tried to do something earlier and I was completely unconscious. Might as well have been dead. But yeah, man, it was great. And I'd love to do it again. I'd love to go back to New York City and have a bit more freedom to explore the city with some other folks and these folks again as well.
I went out for drinks with a toileteer last night, actually.
No shit.
Yeah, yeah. Carl came down from Seattle for a little vacation before he starts the school year again. So we went out drinking. And, man, he can put him away. I was having some trouble.
Yeah, man. I had more beer last night than I've had in probably a dozen years. I drank very heavily.
How you feeling,
Jack? I didn't drive a smidge, though, so fuck it. I slept, you know, on the way home, and I had water, so I'm okay. I'm getting there. I'm here. This is 200th episode. Couldn't miss it for the world, so. How about you, champ?
It wouldn't be an episode without someone being hungover or still drunk.
Yeah, Jordan, you got a problem, man.
Shut up. I'll tell you when I've had enough.
You know, I think the thing that we have in common with these poorly rated episodes is that these were generally bands that we had to interview in the afternoon because their PR made them only available for a couple hours a day. I can't be in top form in the afternoon. I've got to be sleep deprived and hungover to properly do an episode of this show.
I hate when PRs are just like, yeah, this person's available Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's like, yeah, cool. That's not going to happen.
Good thing this is our only job.
Yeah, I know for a fact that this motherfucker does not have a 9-to-5. He can do a call in the morning or at night.
And then we reach out to them personally. Like, yeah, sure, I'll be on in 15 minutes.
Yep. Thanks, PR guys. Who did you meet up with yesterday, Jordan?
No one.
I don't think that's true.
I didn't meet anyone. I went to Boston Comic Con yesterday. It's the second year I've actually gone, and it was just as unorganized as the first time. Ticket prices day of were absurdly expensive, but I did walk around and see lots of people dressed up, so that was kind of fun. Someone was actually in a Hulkbuster Iron Man costume. So if you know comic books, it's Iron Man, but like a gigantic overblown size. And it was like the real deal. Like this was whatever, 10 feet worth of costume. God damn. That was cool. But walking around, as it is now common, Comic Cons now have celebrities and voice actors and all sorts of people. And I got to see from afar the cast of Boy Meets World.
Tight. Cool. They were all there, every one of them?
Yeah, you had Mr. Feeney, you had...
Holy shit, he's still alive?
He's still alive, he still looks the same, pretty much. And you had Ryder Strong, you had Ben Savage, you had Will Friedle, and you had Danielle Fishel, who is Topanga, who looks exactly the same as she did when the show was on 20-something years ago.
In either the first or second season of that show, there was some nerdy kid that the guys always like, snarled at.
Mingus. Yep.
And there's a hilarious internet urban legend that Mingus grew up to become the pretty blonde lady on Rob Dyrdek's show on MTV.
Chanel West Coast.
Chanel West Coast.
I thought you were going to say he became Marilyn Manson.
No.
No, that was the Wonder Years.
That was Wonder Years.
That was Paul from Wonder Years.
Paul from Wonder Years, right, right. Another savage. There's like all sorts of. there's pictures online of like the Mingus and the Chanel West Coast next to each other, and it's convincing. They might as well be related at least.
That's exciting though. I don't know what Boy Meets World has anything to do with comics, but that's a fun little surprise.
That's fucking Comic-Con though. They have a panel for just about anything that had anything to do with pop culture at any point in time.
Yeah, you could blame San Diego Comic-Con for the change of how comic conventions are done now. Like, not to be all old man, but it used to just be comic books, and then it became entertainment. So you have cartoons, you have movie stars, you have all sorts of things, and then there's this tiny little corner of grubby men in their like 40s and 50s spending way too much money on comic books.
Oh man, see, I would love to go to Comic-Con, but there's always this pressure to cosplay, like to dress up, like you were saying with the big Iron Man suit. But those people take it way too seriously. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a craftsman. I can't take hours and hours like sculpting the perfect helmet or something. You know, it's just like I would show up in the same kind of effort sort of outfit as I would show up to like some drunken Halloween bash at like 1 a.m.
I love low effort cosplay though. Like one of those ancient memes is the guy at, like, just a comic book store wearing his terrible Dragon Ball Z costume. I don't know if you remember that one.
Oh God, I do remember that. Also, one of my favorite Facebook follows is a page called Low Cost Cosplay.
Ooh.
Where this what I can only tell is I don't know, he's doing very well for himself now, but I think he was just like this impoverished Vietnamese kid who does these hilarious fucking cosplays of any given thing, anime, television show, otherwise. His portrayal of just random white actors is always the funniest because he like covers himself in flour.
He could also double as an 80s metal musician.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, this guy, wrestler. This guy rules. This shit is awesome.
He like covers himself in tape and he nails it all of the time too.
He just, I'm looking at him blow up a bunch of like clown balloons to look like he's got armor on.
He's the fucking man. So 200 episodes, guys. I mean, we're looking back here. What are some things that stick out in your minds as far as like where the show has taken us, what's happened to us as a result of the show? Anything recent, anything years ago you can think of particularly, Joe?
My favorite things are our concept episodes. And we, Jordan and I just spent 20 minutes making fun of bands for doing concept albums. But the concept shows, I get it. You get to do something different. So, for example, us creating our own Choose Your Own Adventure stories. Yes. Everything to do with the Death Metal Underground saga.
That's been a saga, man.
If somebody were to ask me, like, hey, I want to check out your show, first of all, I would say, don't do that. I get that a lot, actually. People are like, oh, you have a podcast? So I want to check it out. I'm like, you really don't, man.
Yeah, no. I want to stay friends with you. I talk shit about you on this show.
It's not even that. It's like, I can't explain what I do to, like, some guy at a bar. It's like, no, you don't understand. We picked a fight with this Nazi blog so that we could make fun of them for 10 episodes.
Oh, boy. I'm trying to think back. I mean, I think some of the death metal ones ended up being our best episodes because of, like, the commercials we did to waste their time.
Absolutely.
Because if people weren't familiar with the Death Metal Underground saga, is that these guys are complete losers. They will totally spend an hour, hour and a half plus listening to an entire episode to get as many sound bites as possible to write a response article. They always respond without fail. They cannot help themselves. So we designed this amazing episode that was full of these hilarious custom commercials, kind of making us... I don't know, I think we were spoofing podcasts that have too many commercials.
Yeah.
Like, we just would talk for a minute and then go, oh, right after our word from our sponsors. And I Come Blood Orange is probably the funniest thing ever said on this fucking show.
I do have a way with words. I'm like Pocahontas. I can paint with all the colors of the wind.
Motherfucking approved.
We talk about this all the time. Like, yeah, we'll do an episode where we'll actually do some writing, and then we all fucking grouse about it, and just I barely shit something out 10 minutes before we have to record. It's a little bit easier to go off the dome on this one.
Yeah, it's those things are usually my fault. I'm just like a terrible chronic procrastinator, and that's with everything in life.
What was your favorite episode, Jordan?
I mean, I'm always happy with. I interviewed Brock Lindau from 36 Crazy Fest, and that episode was just a frantic last minute come together because you typically record the shows on your end, but you weren't able to be on that show. Like you told me that morning, you're like, "There's an emergency. I can't be here. Good luck." And I spent like the day trying to like Google around like how do I record, what do I do, what's free, what's easy, and at the last minute I was able to get in touch with a friend of mine who knows music and recording equipment, all that sort of thing, and he was able to jump in on the call and record it, and I got to speak with one of my favorite musicians for like over an hour, to the point where we weren't talking about music, we were just like talking about hockey and talking about Metallica and just all sorts of things. And that, so I know it's maybe not like the most listened to show because that band doesn't really cater to our audience as much, but that's like one of my favorite things that I've ever done with this show.
I mean, interviewing John Dyer Basley from Baroness was like a huge deal for me. And he was an excellent interview. That guy could do an amazing interview in his sleep. I remember when we were first walking on the bus, we thought we were just going to talk to the drummer. And he was like a really nice guy. And we would have probably had a great interview with him. But, you know, there's always when you don't get like the main guy in those interviews, there's always that little bit of just like, oh, man, you know, I don't really know what questions to ask now. And but John like ran in at the last minute. And so that was a great interview. But I think my favorite interview was Brett Boland from Astronaid, the more recent one.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a great interview, man. I mean, that was hilarious.
The best interviews are the ones where like people want to talk to you. I think it's kind of this weird thing that we have to deal with on the show and working with labels and industry people is a lot of times bands just they're not available. They only do press because they have a new album or they're on tour, and you're only allotted 25 minutes via Skype or via the phone, and they have to get off as soon as possible because they have 10 more interviews to do the rest of the day, and it's kind of not as personable, whereas if we're just reaching out individually or being with these people in person, it's just a conversation and they're just happy to talk and just shoot the shit with you. Like most of these people are relatively normal and relatively cool, and that helps a lot, and you could hear it on these episodes.
I'm
noticing that all of your favorite interviews feature one thing.
Me?
I wasn't there.
Come on now, man. You should one of these days you should come on up to the, you know, Northeast, and we should all just do some awkward interview all together, all three of us in a bus with cheap recorders.
I got the idea. We'll go to Maryland Death Fest next year, and we'll interview all the bands and start off with, who the fuck are you? Because that's what, 60% of the bands they book? It's just, so, who is this person? Who is this band?
First and foremost, who do you think you are?
Prostitute disfigurement. Your thoughts?
Damn, I got a lot of thoughts. I think that's a great idea. No, it's been hotter than shit here. I want to die. So I think going up to the Northeast is a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know if Maryland is really all that Northeast, but maybe
it's
for like
below the Mason-Dixon line. So no.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Maryland is technically the South. Mm-hmm. Huh. Clutch is from Maryland.
Yeah, they seceded, man.
They got crabs and shit. That's like, I thought that was a Northeast thing.
I mean, it's just an ocean thing.
Oh. You see the current.
Whatever, man. I don't know anything about most of the country.
Come on out, man. We'll have a great time. I'll take you to New York City, and you'll fucking want to die the whole time, being in traffic, almost dying.
just the entire time I'm going to roll down the window and yell at people, New York City!
I made like
people will ignore you because it's New York.
Yeah. I made this drunken video where I talk about the history of the Spider-Man Bridge as we're crossing the Brooklyn Bridge.
It's the Spider-Man Bridge?
Yeah, because I feel like every fucking Spider-Man movie, there's some scene on the Brooklyn-ass bridge.
It's an iconic bridge, and also that is the bridge where Gwen Stacy was killed by the Green Goblin.
Yeah, so therefore, in her honor, it is Spider-Man Bridge.
All I know about this geography is, like, there's the Brooklyn Bridge, which is well-known and stuff, and then there's, what is it, the George Washington Bridge?
Yeah.
Which is not
as fun.
The less popular place to kill yourself, I guess.
Yes. Not as pretty a bridge.
I think my favorite thing about these episodes, honestly, is when I have to do research, because then I feel like I'm in some way prepared and not just an asshole talking on the microphone like normal. One of my favorite episodes that we did was a show where we listened to what is widely considered the worst record a band put out. Do you guys remember that one? We listened to Cold Lake. We listened to Diabolus in Musica.
I remembered that. That was a good... That got a lot of hits, too.
It did.
We were talking about bands' like worst albums.
And, doing that, you're like, okay, well, I guess I gotta, like, prepare for the show. I'm gonna listen to some records I've never listened to before so I can form it and create an informed opinion to say this shit sucks lol.
Get a lookout. Wow. What a dumb album, man. It's like, you know, if Nurgle was online talking about how it's going to start World War III, you know it sucks.
Like how he's online saying he was kicked out of the YMCA because of his shirt and how he doesn't believe in Jesus.
He's probably kicked out of the YMCA because he couldn't stop showing everybody his fucking little dick.
Nurgle is the atheist professor meme.
I like how we were all able to come together as a metal community and say, yeah, that didn't happen at all.
I mean, it's so absurd on the face that it seems tailor-made for some kind of boomer asshole that's like, yeah, man, back in my day, metalheads were a protected group, you know? Like, we were minorities, bro, against everybody else. It's like, no, you weren't, you fucking loser.
My friends were almost beaten to death for wearing Iron Maiden t-shirts. I have fought for the right to wear this garment, and you have not, young lady.
He really is like the personified meme of like, oh, you like this band, name three songs.
Yeah, that's him. Except he's going to like pour a glass of wine and expect you to name the entire discography while he like swirls it and stares at you.
Well, didn't we just have what Jared Dines do a YouTube video about that, like running up to random people in band shirts and accosting them to name three songs from that band?
I want
to
fire a cannonball through Jared Dines' fucking house the first chance I get a cannon. I'm rolling that shit right up to it.
I will contribute to the Kickstarter to get you a cannon.
I will fucking set the wick aflame and I'll make it extra long so I can stand there and hold, you know, put my fingers in my ears Looney Tunes style and wait until that thing blows out his fucking windows.
You wear a, like, ship captain's hat while you do this?
Absolutely.
Sold. $200 to your Kickstarter right now.
And that's all I'm going to wear. Maybe some socks and underwear, but also the giant captain's hat.
I think my favorite thing about Jaron Dines is that he's a... We've established I don't fucking watch YouTube people or whatever, but he's a huge YouTube personality. He gets tons of views on his videos where he's doing like stunts like that. And then he also, I guess, makes music and then nobody fucking cares. Nobody yeah. fucking listens to his music whatsoever. They just want to see him act like an asshole on front of a camera, and they don't give a shit like what scales and modes he knows.
It's like the 10-second songs guy. People just want to hear his 10-second covers. They do not give a shit about his real band.
Well, the thing that's pretty much universal with YouTube, like the YouTube guitarist guys, is that they kind of like record and mix their own music. And it doesn't fucking sound good. Like, all of it is the same virtual drum packs. All of it is the exact same fucking tone and shitty techniques that they think is the way the music industry does it, but it was just something that was specifically done on, you know, one metal album. They read about it in an interview as far as like how to record bass or something stupid like that. And so it all sounds very samey and very shitty, and it'll blow out your fucking headphones. And that's definitely the case with Gerrandine's music. And absolutely, like, the songs aren't even good either. So,
Jared, come on the show.
Yeah, he probably would. I don't know why I'm being so mean.
I mean, like, I have nothing nice to say. Why can't I be mean?
Yeah,
it's never stopped us before.
Exactly.
He's like the biggest metal musician in the world right now, specifically because of YouTube.
The biggest metal musician, and yet nobody listens to his music.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes, man. You just got to make metal memes. Yeah. And make a goofy face online and pay too much for a camera and you're all set.
Yeah,
I just had the worst idea. Just those YouTube metal people banding together and going on tour like they used to have.
Fuck.
YouTube teen people or like Vine tours. It's going to be him. It's going to be that doofy looking guy, the hip hop head reacts where all of the thumbnails are stupid fucking face. Yeah. Oh, gross. Gross. No, thank you.
Thanks. You've willed this into existence. It's gonna happen.
Someone Eternal Sunshine my brain from that idea.
Well, I think a lot of those guys like try to start bands with each other, quite a few, or they've tried to do it quite a few times. Specifically, you had Ryan Bruce, who's a YouTuber who's not quite as popular as Jared Dines, but still very popular. Him and Jared Dines started a band called Rest Repose, and it was fucking terrible. The music was awful. It was like, these are metal dudes playing these low tune riffs all the time, and the fucking music they put together was like, oh god, I can't even describe it. It was just the most, it was like Foo Fighters with riffs. It just was terrible.
And I don't think there's anybody clamoring for this shit either. They're like, I can't wait to hear what original material you come up with. It's like, no, I want to watch you play a cover of One on a melodica, you know?
Yeah. Guitarists have bad taste in music, usually.
Oh, uniformly.
Like, if you're a guitarist, a great guitarist, in fact, like, you almost always like a lot of stupid, shitty music that most people in the scene don't appreciate. I guess it's one of those, like, you know, musician things where you separate the coolness factor from what you listen to, and you're just like, oh, you know, I really like what he was doing here in this key.
Yeah.
On this particular Alter Bridge record.
That's Alter Bridge. Why?
Yeah. Why do I keep fucking seeing Mark Tremonti signature gear and like people talking about how, oh, you know, I got the new Mark Tremonti amp because dude, Mark Tremonti's tone, dude. Oh my God. I'm like, why do you know about Mark Tremonti's tone in his shitty fucking Creed after the fact band that no one gives a fuck about?
You say no one gives a fuck about it, and yet why do I see it constantly online? There are posers among us. I hesitate to use that word, but they walk among us.
Poser is a slur now. Wine mom, poser.
Yeah.
Wait,
Twitter should ban you for saying poser to people.
Wine mom is a slur now?
According to wine moms.
alcoholic Caucasian women, this is a protected group.
Yeah, alcoholic, matriarchal, yeah. God, I'm trying to reel back to what I was going with Alter Bridge, but I remember. So if this is a callback episode, we should definitely talk about how Alter Bridge was had to like breathless coverage on probably my favorite metal blog of all time, which was a little site called MetalMofos.com. And it was run by a gentleman named Carlos, and he really wanted to be the anti-Antifa death metal underground supreme elite, but he was probably the stupidest person to ever type and publish it online.
You see it online sometimes where you got a guy who's like, I see these right-wing grifters putting together the bare minimum effort and making some bank off of it. I'm stupid. I can do that too. And then seeing them fail at even this, the most simple of tasks, is
you had one job.
it's a very satisfying experience for me. So seeing someone like Carlos, who is dead, RIP, he got his dick stuck in a garden hose and had to be severed. He couldn't do it. Metal Mofos would post things about, like, do you guys remember Dawkin? And then you have a million comments like, yeah, Dawkin rules. And then you would have Carlos put up his video of him ranting in his Toyota Tercel. And everyone's like, shut the fuck up, Carlos.
These SJWs in the safe spaces, they can't handle real metal, man. Real fucking metal, like Kiss and Dawkin and fucking Winger, bro. And it's like, man, you got your Samuel L. Jackson hat. You got your wife beater. You got your nostrils that they could land planes in. And your weird, warty, melony head just writing on that camera. And he's just got this whole idea. You can see it in the glint of his eyes. He just thinks that this is it. I'm going to be an influencer. Oh, man.
Well, I'm pouring one out, pouring a glass of chocolate milk out for poor, poor Carlos.
Yeah, couldn't quite make it.
I feel like we've had a few forgotten characters that have come and gone throughout this series. To that end, I think if we're going to do a retrospective show, I just want to bring it up briefly. That Chris Barnes blocked me on Twitter for talking shit to him and then still did our show anyway, which is one of the best things I think we ever did. The entire time you could hear him fucking around with a bong.
Yes, he was very, 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 very high. But it was still pleasant enough to talk to and answered our questions. And I did get to blow his mind by saying my favorite lyric of his was some obscure band he did one album with.
Wait, what was that? What was the band?
Torture Killer. It was like a Finnish 6 Feet Under cover band that decided to do their own album, and he's just like, yeah, sure, I'll do vocals for it.
Incredible stuff. I don't, of all the things that you could do a cover band of, 6 Feet Under is the funniest, but only if you do 6 Feet Under covers.
Yes, cover 6 Feet Under covers.
All right, now way to hell. Hell's bells. Purple haze all in my brain.
Oh, is that you, Chris?
Hi, guys. Are you making fun of me on your show?
You devolved into Scooby-Doo.
He devolved into Scooby-Doo, not me. That's not on me, man. It's like he went from fucking Cannibal Corpse to... Oh!
You guys
keep listening to 6 Feet Under. It's the worst fucking band.
I kind of enjoy Smoke on the Water.
Really? America the Brutal is just like people put that song on and like bang their heads to it. How is that possible?
No war.
I get that thrown at me all the time. Like an example of like politics done well in death metal. I'm like, are you fucking serious right now?
The MS Paint Bleeding Earth that's shot oh my god. If anyone who's listening and who hasn't done it, please go watch the music video for America the Brutal. I think there's a K instead of a C in America, because why not?
Well, he didn't go the full way with America.
Yeah.
Should have done it.
Missed a golden opportunity with that one, but it's probably the best music video ever made.
You guys keep talking. Give me 1 second. I got to step away.
One thing I like about what our show has been able to do, and that is to educate people. We all have various levels of metal knowledge, specifically with ridiculous things. Like, we were able to educate people on how the guy from Malevolent Creation claimed to have shot a homeless crackhead. Yes. And got free chocolate milk for life from the convenience store clerk that he saved. And yeah, then the follow-up police saying, yeah, this never happened, we have no record of it.
Oh my god. Yeah. Those stories, man. Like, I don't know what it is about some metal artists. They just have to talk this big talk about like how certain things went down. Do you remember there was a this one band got their van hijacked, like, actively, And in like a heroic attempt to escape, like at gunpoint, this kid like crashed his van.
Yes, we talked about that on an episode. And I think on that episode, we said in 2 weeks, we're never going to remember this band's name. And we were right.
I don't remember that band's name at all.
Yeah, it was a complete bullshit story. Just like from Upon a Burning Body, the vocalist who was posting online like, ooh, there's a creepy car outside. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, he's been kidnapped. Oh, he hasn't been kidnapped. We're just promoting our album.
Wow. I remember that one, but the details are fuzzy.
It was real dumb, and, you know, for all of our faults, we can figure out bullshit pretty quickly. And when it's something as transparent as that, or I got kicked out of the YMCA because of my shirt, then, you know, people are going to laugh at you. And it's nice that we're able to bring some of these older stories, things that have been kind of lost to the internet, and just remind people, like, hey, that band you like, they're idiots.
There's very, very stupid story that they made up for, you know, for hype and clicks and clout and otherwise. So as we were talking about Metal Mofos, I looked up his Twitter account, and there's only, like, the last tweet is from December 6, 2018, and it does say RIP, Mexican King of All Metal, see you on the other side, brother, with this extremely obnoxious picture of Carlos wearing, like, a fuzzy set of goggles, so I don't know if it's a joke or not, but he might actually be dead.
Maybe he's just not a king anymore. Maybe he was deposed in a coup.
Ah, yes, he was dethroned by me, the new Mexican king of all metal.
Maybe he's just like a duke now or something like that.
Yeah. The Mexican king of all metal is dead. Long live the Mexican king of all metal.
Well, you always have Jose Mangan.
I feel like Jose Mangan is probably the Mexican king of all metal.
With his guacamole.
Oh, yeah, man, I mixed it up with some chili peppers.
Whose voice do you prefer doing, his or Joey's mom?
Oh, man. Well, I got to do both of them, so let me just do a skit here, okay?
We need, like, an hour-long show of Joey DeMeo's mom talks with Jose Mangan.
Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God, dude. Hey, you know what's going on? Hey, Joey's mom is like, Joey home, you know, can he come fucking do, like, a show with me? Who the fuck are you? Get out of this house or I'm going to call the police. No, man. No, it's fucking cool, man. You know, I fucking know Joey, dude. He's fucking metal, dude. Oh, my God, dude. I fucking know Joey. Can you, like, come on? Can he, like, get out or I'm going to get this gun and I'm going to fucking shoot you.
You better get out of here right now. I know this how to use my way around a Winchester. I'll blow you with a fucking taco hitch head right off.
I got racist. Let's delete that.
I just walked in. What happened?
I don't know. I was trying to do the two voices that I'm known for.
It was Jose Mangan, Joey DeMeo's mom conversation that kind of delved into racism at the end.
Joey's mom. Joey's mom canonically is a racist.
I mean, that's true. That's a true fact.
Yeah. First of all, she raised Joey DeMeo.
Yeah. Second of all, she's like an elderly woman from...
She's 104 years old.
She's like an elderly woman from like Staten Island. Of course she's racist.
Joey DeMeo is 67. How old could his mom be, you know? Don't look that up. I don't think that's true.
Okay.
By the way, while you were gone, I looked up the Metal Mofos Twitter, and it says that Carlos is really dead, but I don't know. I don't know if it's a joke or not. Maybe.
I saw them post that he was dead, and the RIP post included him in a Minions costume.
Oh.
So I thought it was a joke and just like we're getting rid of this douchebag, but either way, I don't care.
I hope he's dead. I don't say that often, but it'd be like if he was dead, I'd be like, oh, cool, that's good.
I mean, he was such a shining beacon of humanity in these dark times.
It truly was the moment all hope is lost.
It's true.
It's one of the good things about the show and the website is that we're able to reach out to people across the world and have some of them threaten us.
What about all those black metal guys that were mad at us?
When?
What about...
they're still mad and they still come to the website and they still listen to the show.
Oh, and they still have like some cringy little like pagan art that they use as a avatar. Man, y'all are cute.
Yeah, like one of the DMU kids has been signing up the Toil of Hell inbox to all kinds of newsletters and giving us just obscene names, and it doesn't bother me because it's what's another piece of spam mail, and also I kind of get a laugh out of it.
Wait, like, so there? What a middle school thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is what you sat down with a pad and a pen. You were like, I'm gonna get those motherfuckers, and this is what you came up with.
I'd love to be privy to some of these emails at some point.
I can't say any of the things on air.
Yeah, it's probably the N-word.
Yeah,
it's
lots of that.
That's all they really got. So it's like, dude, I listen to rap music. Like, the N-word actually doesn't upset me, but...
And if they can say it...
Right. I just sing along, screaming in my car with the windows rolled down. As fast as I can through downtown.
I mean, you've also had...
On my way down to the O-Town Road!
You've also had Phil Labonte threaten you and DM you to get your address so he can presumably come fight you.
Yeah, his whole thing is like guns and stuff. I don't think he does any kind of physical combat, so I think he was wanting to show up to a Texan's door to presumably shoot me. I don't want to like point out any kind of flaws in that tactical plan, but
the guy is 4'9". Like I've met him around town. He's very small.
No, that's the thing though. It's like playing Goldeneye against Oddjob.
You'd fucking lose, man.
Or he just pulls out a gun and it's so heavy he tips over.
Love it.
Wall hacks.
Are there any other long forgotten moments on this show that we should talk about?
We've done a lot of really good dramatic readings. And I'm trying to think of some that really stand out. I especially liked when there was this one specific black metal musician who talked about how he was like just the tool of a god of chaos, and he totally murdered some guy in Finland or something.
Yes.
And Bardo Methodology just like did this ludicrous interview with him, and we made fun of him, and then he listened to an hour ass entire show, got extremely butthurt, and began to write something that was just really for the ages.
Yeah, we made the homepage of his fucking blog spot.
We did it.
We're all set.
I thought it was like Newman Orion or something, but I think that's another band, so I don't know. Who cares? Fuck that guy.
Newman Orion is the band that had like a dead baby as an album cover.
Yeah, yeah. And then they were like, it's actually about the fragility of life. It's an artistic statement. It's like, you fucking loser.
Oh my god. And everybody on Twitter, that sounds good enough to me.
We had some good times on this show, though. Reading dumb people's bullshit, getting threatened for reading their dumb bullshit. Rinse and repeat over and over again.
Shocking people with our political stances for the first time 5 years into the site's existence.
Yeah, like long-term readers who are just like, I thought that this was a blog about metal, but apparently I was wrong and I am not welcome here. I will take my red hat and make my leave.
I feel like we should clear the air once and for all here. We can all just come out and say what our deeply held political beliefs are so that we can settle it once and for all. I myself consider myself a Maoist Posadist. I believe in rounding up the landlords and then worshipping the dolphin gods that will come to save us all.
I'm a nihilist. No, I'm not. I'm just a social justice warrior. It's fine. I'll take it. Just whatever that one is that they think is so clever. repeated every day a billion times over and over by the same guy in his sunglasses and a car selfie on Facebook. Yeah, I'm a social justice warrior. If, you know, there's a minority group that goes through bullshit they shouldn't go through in the modern age, I have an opinion about it. I'm sorry. I can't help myself, I guess.
I'm a techno-pagan.
Techno-pagan?
Is that like one of those Warhammer things?
No, it's
from an X-Files episode.
Techno Viking was a techno pagan, wasn't he?
I mean, from a technical perspective, yes.
from a technical perspective,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. 200 episodes, everybody.
I'm a cyberpunk.
Are you?
I'm a steampunk. That's my political affiliation.
Well, fuck.
Curly mustaches and trains.
You ever see the Key and Peele bit about steampunks?
Yes. It's been a while, but it sticks out in my mind in some way. Yeah, I just have a top hat covered in cogs. That's just how I'm going to run. That's my platform.
My version of the Communist Manifesto is Will Smith's 1999 picture, Wild Wild West.
Oh, man. That should be the song that we play for our 200th episode.
When I roll into the wild, wild west. I think that was when people finally realized that they shouldn't let Will Smith do a song for every movie he's in.
I feel like that was Sisqó's big break, that song. Before he did Thong Song, there was Wild, Wild West.
He was on that one?
That was him.
And then he did a song with Godzilla.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that one. I think that everything was riding on the success of Men in Black and the song he did for Men in Black.
It was pretty huge.
Yeah. I hear he's a famous person. And that's my thought to leave you on for today.
Will Smith. Hold on. We gotta figure out something metal to close this thing out.
I can do it. Hold on. Yeah,
okay.
I did see Will Smith once live.
Oh, my
fucking God. I saw him because he was on the side of the stage at Ozfest, rocking out to his wife's band, Wicked Wisdom.
Fuck yes.
And everyone went, "Woo, Will Smith!" And he raised his beard. And then that was it.
He did not want to be there.
He was supporting his wife.
I know. I don't think they're married anymore.
I think they are. They just have some kind of weird Scientology setup.
Oh. I mean, whenever you have like a Scientologist marriage, it just means two separate mansions.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Join us for our expose on Scientology next week.
That will be our last show.
We'll be sued into the ground.
I was found in a jail cell having broken every bone in my neck. Yep. All right. Bye, everybody.
Later. Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
We did.
Christmas show, March is playing Homer's bro, Barton Mill, Flanders Fails, Whacking Snake, Monorail, Mr. Plow, Homer's Space, Sideshow Bob, Steps on Rakes, Lisa's Future, Selma's Hobby, March Not Proud, Homer Chubby, Homer Worries, Bart is Gay, Bucci, U2, NRA, Hippies, Vegas, and Japan, our couplets, and Barge Boy Band, Marge Murmurs, Mort Croaks, Lisa Buddhist, Homer Tokes, Baggy Blows, Burns Away, what else do I have to say?
We'll never stop the Simpsons. Have no fears, we got stories for years. Like Marge becomes a robot, maybe Mo gets a cell phone, has Bart and her own the bear. Or
how about a crazy wedding where something happens and do-do-do-do-do. Sorry for the clip show.
Have no fears, we got stories for years.
are listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.